sweet and tender heart for God and for other people. She's a speaker for the Oregon Conference, traveling the Pacific Northwest. She does special events, women's retreats, seminars, and workshops, and she is the director of Take Heart Ministry. I welcome Tani Sportsman.
Good morning. Ooh, it sounds like everybody's awake. That's a good start. Yay. A beautiful day. It's so nice to be here. You know, it's hard to believe, but Thanksgiving and Christmas are just around the corner. And things like thankfulness, gratitude, and blessings, they come to mind especially now, don't they? It's a little bit easier than the rest of the year, it seems like. And I have a blessing jar that I keep on my counter, and I fill it all during the year. I start it every Thanksgiving Day, and I read it the following Thanksgiving Day. Let me see if I can make this work. There, you can see my blessing jar. And so I really enjoy this. It's become one of my favorite things to do. I started it when I lost my husband and had to move from our home that we had shared together into another little nest. And it wasn't, you know, it was kind of hard. And so I asked the Lord for something to help me, make that transition and adjustment. He gave me the blessing jar. So it's been great. And so every once in a while, I find a blessing from somebody else in my blessing jar, and I love it. This one says, "You have a perfect daughter who married a perfect man and had perfect children. You are so blessed, Mom." And so I love it when I find those extra little blessings in there along with the mine. But earlier this year, as I was thinking about all the things that I have to be thankful for, God caught my attention and he asked me a simple question. He said, "Tawny, are you thankful or are you grateful?" I said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'm thankful, I'm grateful," and off I went. Next morning during my devotions, what do you think popped up? Same question. "Tawny, are you thankful or are you grateful?" I said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'm thankful and I'm grateful," and off I went again. Well, the third day, I'm kind of a slow study, but by the third day, I kind of caught on that God was trying to teach me something that I hadn't, you know, he hadn't gotten my attention yet. So I slowed down and I said, "Lord, please show me what it is that you want me to learn." And it's very simple, but it has actually touched my life on so many levels and changed it. And I hope it's going to do the same thing for you today. So here's the first thing that God taught me. Being thankful is something that you are. Let's see, first of all, I better catch up my... Let's see if that'll work. Nope. Okay, let's go back. Okay. So anyway, being thankful is something that you are, and being grateful is something that you do. Well, that kind of shocked me. I don't know about you guys, but I'd never really thought that out. And so it really surprised me that the semantics between being thankful and being grateful. Iris, hi. Good to see you. And so that was the first thing. I'm going to repeat it again here. So I want you to remember it. You'll get a little card at the end that has this on there. But I thought that that was profound, at least in my life, what God was teaching me. Being thankful is something that you are, and being grateful is something that you do. That kind of blew me away. And so what I want to do for just a moment here is I want to take time, a moment, and I want to ask you just to shout out who you can think of in the Bible that expressed gratitude, not just mere thankfulness. Who is somebody in the Bible that expressed gratefulness? Mary Magdalene, David, who? Sorry? Yes, Hannah. She came to mind. That was one of the first ones that came to my mind. Who else? Yes, yes. Okay, let's go back to Hannah just for a minute. She was the one that came to my mind first, well, second actually, but she not only, her name is synonymous with thankfulness. She prayed for what? A child. And do you know what she did before she got that child? What? Shout it out. She gave the child to God, but first she thanked God for that child. And then she gave the child to God. So what I was getting after is, you see, even when she prayed the prayer, she then thanked God. That's huge. You know, we need to start kind of zooming in on some of these things that we read about in Scripture. They're there for us to admonish and lead and show us to go and do likewise. So when you pray, remember to thank God for the answer even before you have it. Now, I think you said Mary Magdalene. Okay, you know, she might have looked kind of ridiculous. Can a person be too thankful? Well, way back then it might have looked like she was, right? And that's how people probably made her feel. But she lavished love upon Jesus, right? She didn't just say thank you. She went way out of her comfort zone. And she went and anointed Christ's feet. And that cost her. She expressed her gratitude. She didn't just feel thankful. You know, that somebody brought up the lepers, whoever you were. That was the first one that came to my mind. Because, you know, how many lepers were there? There were 10 lepers. How many expressed gratefulness? One. Now, do you think the other 9 were happy? Do you think they were thankful? You bet your bottom dollar they were, because they had been healed. They didn't, you know, mince any words. They just took off, headed for home, right? Headed to their families and their jobs, and they got back to life. They were very thankful, but there was only one grateful leper. It cost him, didn't it? Because he didn't just race to his wife and his family and his job. He turned back. That must have been hard, don't you think? You know, think about if you hadn't seen your loved one, you couldn't be near them or anything. But he took the time to go back and express gratitude. It cost him. Daniel, David, I mean, we could go on and on. The Bible's filled with, you know, many examples. Jonah, boy, I bet he was thankful, huh? Out of almost everybody. Moses, Mary, Elizabeth, Paul, Solomon, David. I looked up a whole bunch. And there's many more. But this is just a few of the people who said thank you and meant it. And remember, God put their stories in the Bible to encourage us and lead us. And if we want to bump things up a notch from feeling thankful to expressing our gratitude, we need to go and do likewise. Now, there's a definition of gratitude, and that definition has is two parts, okay? So listen up. The first one is, it is an affirmation of goodness. You affirm that there are good things, there are good benefits and gifts in your life. Now, we know life isn't perfect. Anybody here have a perfect life? We all want we want you to come up if there's anybody here so we can see you in the flesh. So we know that life isn't perfect, right? However, life is good in many ways. Lynette posted something yesterday that just was one of the best things I've seen in just about forever. And it expressed that very same thing. You know, we have to, we want to affirm the good things in our life that we do have. And so we need to acknowledge the good things. Again, this will be on the little card that you get, but I hope you'll remember it. We need to acknowledge the good things. The second thing is we need to figure out where the goodness comes from. Who do I give thanks to? You know, there's a giver behind the gift, so that we recognize the source of that goodness and acknowledge that gift came from outside ourselves. Do you have everything you have because of what you've done? Hello? No, absolutely not. So Alex Haley, how many of you know who he is? Alex Haley. He wrote Roots. And he had a very unusual picture hanging in his office. Let's see if I can get caught up here. Boy, these are sure. There it is. Okay. Okay, so when you walked in his office, he had a great big picture. This isn't the picture, but this is what the picture was of. A great big picture of a turtle on a fence post. And, of course, everybody'd go in his office and say, why is that there? And he said every time, he would tell them, every time I write something significant and I go back and read it over and I think, wow, this is good, and I start feeling a little proud, He says, I look up at that picture and I remember that that turtle didn't get there by himself. He had to have some help, didn't he, to get on that fence post. And that is the basis of thankfulness, to remember that we got here with the help of God and the people that God has put in our lives, and to recognize that he's the ultimate provider of every blessing that we have. Amen? You know, something happens when we become grateful. Grateful people seem to have advantages when it comes to success in life. They tend to be happier, they're more satisfied, and they're not just feeling good. They're out there doing good. They're doing acts of compassion, they're helping others, they're generous, they're more forgiving, and more social, and the list goes on and on. True gratitude is an intentional, courageous undertaking that challenges our assumptions of what God's faithfulness looks like in good times and in bad times. Now, we don't always equate gratefulness with the bad times, do we? But we must from now on. If we are only grateful during the good times, then our response hinges on God's gifts to us. And our gratitude becomes conditional and weak. Think about the Israelites. You remember? God bailed them out time after time after time. Remember that? Well, what would they do? Were they thankful? Yeah, they were thankful. Yeah, oh yay. But then what did they do? They turned right around, and what did they do? They started complaining and murmuring and having kind of a ho-hum faith again after God bailed them out. Well, I think if we were honest, we'd have to say that we do the same thing. I don't hear anybody out there going, yeah, but I think it's true, at least in my life. I can only speak for myself, but I have done that very same thing. And there's a sweetness that's found in gratitude. And that old adage, you know, count your blessings. And what's that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Well, you know, sometimes people think that's kind of corny, count your blessings. It's kind of an old saying. But, you know, it's oh so true, and I love that. And when we count and recount our blessings, what happens? We're blessed again, right? Oh, I don't know. Is that one not true? When you count your blessings, what happens when you're remembering those wonderful things? Do you get blessed again? I do. Now, the danger comes when our warmth and response toward the giver become dependent on the things he gives us, rather than the good God that he has proven to be over and over again. You know, God wants us to desire him and not just the gifts. Now, he does want us to love those gifts because he wants to lavish us with what our heart desires. Did you know that? It even tells us that in Scripture. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. But you know what? He wants us to treasure those gifts, and he wants us to desire and love him. And, you know, I began to realize as I prepared this message that just like there's a difference between thankfulness and gratefulness, there's a difference between enjoying a gift and treasuring a gift. So we have to think about these things. Now, not long ago, I got a call from our granddaughter, Tia. She was in the hospital, and she wanted me to come. And there's a little history to that. But right away, when I got that call, I ran over to my blessing jar, and I put in there, Tia wants me to come and be with her. Now, she's 26, and she's spent most of her life in and out of the hospital. And she's been on oxygen her entire life. And when she was small, they would call and say, we're headed to the hospital with Tia. I would fly down and I would stay with her, whether it was a week or a month or more sometimes. And I would stay right at the hospital with her, and we made wonderful memories. In fact, the staff couldn't believe that we had so much fun in ICU. And we had parties and they'd come and we had a great time. But anyway, so now she's 26 and headed to the hospital again. And she called and said, Grandma, will you come? So you know how that would feel to a mother's heart or a grandmother's heart, of course, and I was very excited to come. So I jumped in the car and headed up to the University of Washington Hospital. And we got settled in her room, and I brought the traditional sour apple caramel suckers that were her favorite, all from day one, and they still were. So I grabbed those, and we talked about the Seahawks games and what to eat, and we watched some of, I think it's Nicholas Sparks movies. She just loved those movies, and so she had some. She goes, Grandma, I've got everything all set up so we can watch some shows. And so we had fun. I would go on Sunday, and I would leave on Friday when her fiancé came to the hospital to stay with her on the weekends. And I'd run home, do laundry, and repack, and pay bills and that kind of stuff, and then I'd head back on Sunday afternoon. Well, I had just gotten home. I'd been gone took me about 6 hours to get from the hospital to home, and I got a call, and that call was from my stepson, and he said, he was crying, and he said, they say she's not going to make it through the night. And I said, what? I just left there, and I thought she was stable. And he was just distraught and crying, and I said, I'm on my way. So I grabbed my purse, didn't pack, just hit the car, and I got as far as Albany, which is 45 minutes from my home, and I got a call that she was gone. So our precious granddaughter, Atia, passed away. And even though we knew she was critically ill, it still, you know, really hit hard and fast. And so after that initial thought, you know, that first few minutes after I got that news, I wrote a thank you to God to put in my blessing jar. This is how I knew God was getting through to me and teaching me about the difference between being merely thankful and really being grateful. Because I went over and I wrote on a little piece of paper how thankful I was for Tia, and especially for the recent memories that we made. Do you see how I could have missed out on that if she hadn't called Grandma, or I hadn't gone, if I hadn't changed my schedule and I hadn't been going during the week to stay with her those few weeks? We wouldn't have made those special, special memories, and I wouldn't have had that sweet time with her. And so I knew when I couldn't wait to get to the blessing jar to put that blessing in there, that God was getting through to me. You know, God is not aloof or distant. He's not fickle in his love like the Israelites were, and he is ever present. And he is always offering the gift of himself. Even when we experience suffering and persecution, sickness, sadness, financial burden, relational turmoil, or other hardships. You know, this week was the anniversary date of me losing my husband, and today is the anniversary date of the memorial that we had for him. Now, it would have been easy, and I fought it all week, the inclination to turn inward, to be sad, and to, you know, just let it take over. Because I can remember exactly what we were doing every day the month before he passed away. There were so many special things that we were doing that I remember exactly on what date we were doing what. So many times I want to push the pause button. If only I could go back just for a little while. But instead of getting stuck there, you know, because it would be really easy to become fickle and to doubt God, I could ask him, you know, why did you allow John to die early? He should have had more time, you know. I could have asked, why did you let Tia die? She was only 26 years old. But then I remember, every good gift and every perfect gift is a gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's James 1:17. Keep that in your hip pocket, because sometimes we need that reminder, don't we? And I realized that John and Tia were gifts that God gave me, the most beautiful gifts in my life. And they were from him. And he gave them to me because he wanted to give me the desires of my heart. Because God is faithful, we can be close to him even during the difficult times. This doesn't mean that we like the situation. I miss my husband every day, almost every moment of every day. It would surprise me if a moment sneaks by that I don't, that I'm distracted. And I miss Tia. But you know, this doesn't mean, well, and sometimes there's nothing good to be found in the situation you're in. What good is there? My husband is gone. Maybe one of your loved ones is gone. Maybe you've suffered tremendous loss. What good is there? There is none save one thing, that in the middle of that storm, you may only find one thing, but that one thing is God Himself. He is there, He is waiting, and when you meet Him there, you will come to realize that He is more than enough. He's not just enough. He is more than enough. And, you know, when I go there, and don't ever go there, don't ever try to go there on your own. You know, this place that I talk about right now, it's when things happen to you in your life that you were forced to go there. Only go there then, never go there any other time. It's too painful. But when you must, He will meet you there where joy and sorrow meet. And it will be the most beautiful place that you have ever experienced in your life. Many of you know what I talk about because you've lost a loved one. And you know that there is nothing good save Jesus Christ. But when He meets you there, He is more than enough. C.S. Lewis said, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it's good, because it's good. And if it's bad, because it works in us patience, humility, contempt for this world, and a hope of our eternal country." In other words, we don't have to muster up a false pleasure in bad times. True gratitude comes from seeing the hand of God working in your life, no matter what it is that is happening. Now, a grateful heart, I'm just so bad at getting these PowerPoints remembering to click. Okay, we're done with you, turtle. It doesn't seem to be budging. Should I try again? Well, we can do it without it. It's okay. It's all right. A grateful heart sees each day as a gift. Thankful people focus less on what they lack and more on the privileges and the gifts that they have been given. I read an article about a soldier who returned to his home in a small town somewhere. I don't even remember the name of the town, but they said it was a small community, and this man came back. He had lost a leg in the service, and his community had gotten together, and he had some other injuries too. And his community had gotten together, and they had built him a house. Isn't that beautiful? And so they built a house for him and his family, and he was out in the audience. And when they announced this, it was a surprise to him. They announced that they had something for him, and would he come forward? Well, he had suffered many injuries in the war, and he was missing a leg. But he came and said that he worked his way up, and he came up the stage, and I guess it was pretty steep, and there were a lot of stairs. He really had to work at that. But on the way up, he was hugging everybody in the front row, and then he came up and he hugged the musician and he hugged the people that were, you know, everybody that was just there doing different things. He was hugging everybody and thanking them over and over again. The guy that wrote the article said he even hugged me, and I was only there to cover the event. He didn't have anything to do with making it happen. But this man was so excited, and it really cost him, didn't it? I mean, he could have just sat there and they could have brought him the keys, but he made his way up there and he was so grateful. And as I read that story, all of a sudden it dawned on me, you know, shouldn't we be grateful? Jesus is building a house for us right now. Amen? And, you know, that title is every bit, our ownership is every bit as sure to us as that man was when he was handed the keys to his new home. Shouldn't we be out there expressing our gratitude? What do you think our testimony is? What do you think it is? Our testimony is people seeing us say thank you to God for what He has done in our lives. And I think that that escapes us many times. I want to say it again because it's something that God gave me as He was teaching me about true gratitude. Why should we stop and say thank you? Why should we do something that costs us to express our gratitude? Why should we pay it forward? Because that's our testimony. That's our story, living out, paying it forward. And it's so important. The grateful heart is like a magnet sweeping over the day. Now, I couldn't find a magnet. I could only find one with, I mean, with a paper clips. But I wanted shavings. You know how you see the little shavings and a magnet gets by them? That's what the look I was going for in my picture. That's what a grateful heart is like, sweeping over the day. We should be, you know, we should be looking for and rehashing the things that God has done for us over the day. And they should come rushing in because he has done many things for us. You know, a zillion diamonds sparkle against the velvet of the sky every night. Can we say thank you, God? Absolutely. A miracle of muscles enable your eyes to read and your brain to process words on a page. Thank you, God. Your lungs inhale and exhale 11,000 liters of air every day. Amen? And your heart will beat about 3 billion times in your lifetime. Your brain is a veritable electric generator of power. Do we have things to say thankful for, thank you for in our lives? Absolutely. For the jam on our toast and the milk on our cereal, for the blanket that calms us, for the joke that delights us, for the warm sun that reminds us of God's love, for the thousands of planes that didn't crash today, you begin to get the picture. We can go on and on about how many things we should be thankful for. Gratitude gets us through the hard stuff. To reflect on your blessings is to rehearse God's accomplishments. To rehearse God's accomplishments is to discover his heart. And to discover his heart is not just discovering those good gifts, but the good giver that is behind every good gift. Gratitude leaves us looking at God and away from the problem. And I found a poem, actually, I ran across it. It was in my file, and I thought I'd thrown it away because I never liked this poem until now. So I think God left it in the file so that I would find it for now. But it's called a poem, I Am Thankful For. It says, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay. And I used to think, really, Lord? That's really pushing it a bit. But the poem says, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I have an income. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means I was able to be out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means that I have a place to live. I'm thankful for the spot at the far end of the parking lot. I could not say this for a very long time. John used to park in the furthest place out in the parking lot, and it was always, you know, pouring and everything. But now I have to say, because I realize, okay, I'm thankful for that spot at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I am warm. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means that we have what? Freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key, and that is me. Poor Charlene, as we sang up here. But you have to be thankful for me because it means you can hear. And I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. Now, I didn't think I'd be thankful for that either, but I do miss that now that it's just me. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I am alive. And for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I have been productive. You know, gratitude is actually an attitude of grace. We learn to see God's grace in all things. We don't feel that God owes us. We learn that we do not earn what we get, but rather everything we have is simply by the grace of God. And that makes us truly thankful. And when we are truly thankful, we change, and it makes us gracious to others. We don't speak words that will hurt them. We don't speak cutting words. We don't do cutting actions to people. If we are truly grateful to God, that all changes. Now, Fulton Ousler, a famous author of many years ago in the 1800s, tells the story of Anna May, his nurse. Now, she was there when his mother was born, and then she was there when he was born. I remember her, he says, as she sat at the kitchen table in our house, her little brown hands crossed, folded against her, across her starched apron, the glistening black eyes lifted to the whitewashed ceiling, and her husky, old whispering voice saying, "Much obliged, Lord, for the victuals." "Anna," I ask, "what's a victual?" "Well," she says, it's what you got to eat and drink. That's victuals," she said. "But you'd get your victuals whether you said thank you or not," he said, "because we'd feed you." And she said, "Sure, but it makes everything taste better when you're thankful." After the meal, she thanked the Lord again, and then she said, "You know, it's a funny thing about being thankful. It's a game an old preacher taught me to play. It's looking for things to be thankful for. Many of them pass you right by unless you go looking for them. Take this morning," she said. "I woke up and lay there wondering what I got to be thankful for now." And she said, "I couldn't think of anything." But then pretty soon, she said, here came the most delicious smell that ever tickled her nose. For her, it was coffee. And she said, "Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee, and much obliged for the smell of it." Well, years passed, and Ausler grew up. He left home, and you know how it is when you leave home. You go and learn some hard lessons usually, don't you? And that's what he had done. And one day, he got a call to come home. He was called to Anna's bedside because Anna was dying. He noticed her little small hands twisted in pain, and he was there by her bedside, and he wondered, what has she got to be thankful for now? Just then, she opened her eyes, and she looked around the bedside at all the faces around her, and then she closed her little eyes, and she said with a smile, "Much obliged, Lord, for such fine friends and family." Wouldn't it be great if each of us started today to be a little bit more like Anna? If we would pursue gratitude, look for God's grace in our lives, and be thankful for the simple things, wouldn't it change everything? We need to learn to pursue gratitude like Anna did. Now, you might be thinking, well, that sounds like a good idea, Tawny, right about now, but how do we do it? Well, Dr. Emmons, the one that did the scientific study on gratitude, he and his colleagues for over 10 years studied gratitude and determined that it had the power to do three things: the power to heal, the power to energize and inspire, and the power to change lives. Scientifically, it was determined that gratitude has actual power to do those three things. Well, Dr. Emmons said that one of the ways that you can keep track of that would be a gratitude journal. And I think, Brianna, was it you that said you'd had a gratitude journal? Okay, a lot of people do that. It would be like a prayer book, a prayer journal, but you use it for gratitude. And I had my jar to show you that I use a blessing jar. There's all sorts of things to do. We talked about there's apps now for your phone, and that you can get these apps. One is like a tree, and whenever you there's a blessing in your life, you click on it, and it puts a leaf on your tree, and at the end of the month, you have this beautiful tree, and then you start over. So it's a visual reminder of you of how God is blessing you in your life. And so there's so many different possibilities. You need to find one that works for you. Now, I start my blessing jar, like I said, on Thanksgiving Day. And the following Thanksgiving, I read every blessing in the jar. It's been a great experience for me. But more than that, I want to stand here today and tell you that it has changed my life. Remember the three things that gratitude has the power to do? Well, my act of gratitude gives me hope. That's the first thing that gratitude has the power to do. Because I can see for the future, I can see that there's hope. Because I can see how God has led me, protected me, nurtured me, and blessed me as I read and recount all those blessings. I also, my act of gratitude energizes me and inspires me to pay it forward to share what God has done in my life. That's our testimony. Don't forget, we're mandated to do that. But you won't even have to work at it. It will just come naturally if you will express your gratitude. The third thing, my act of gratitude changes me. Many times I have experienced God's grace and love change my heart when I take time to let it, like the leper who took the time to go back. I have today a blessing jar for your church. And a little sign that can go by it if you put it out in the foyer or your fellowship hall or wherever you choose to put it. But the blessing jar is there, and I hope that from this day forward that you won't leave your church without writing a blessing and putting it in there. Now, you don't write a paragraph. You write a sentence, okay? So you guys have to do this too, not just the ladies. So don't be afraid. You can just put a few words. You know, if your pastor does a good sermon, loved the sermon, or got a blessing, and date it. You don't have to sign it, nothing. It's not complicated. But put those blessings in there, because you know what's going to happen if you do? Your life is going to change, and even better than that, the life of your church will change if you take time to be grateful. Our scripture says, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's have our closing song.
Now thank we all our God. Go ahead and stand with us, please. 559, 559.
Father, thank you so much for teaching us the difference from simply being thankful to being genuinely grateful. Please awaken our hearts and our minds to see and embrace all that you do and have for us, and then help us be more like Anna, Lord, and learn to pursue gratitude. Let us never forget that every good gift and every perfect gift is from you. And while we appreciate the gifts, Lord, it's you, the giver of those gifts, that we love far more than anything you give us. Don't let us leave this place without changing us, Lord. Continue to mold us and make us into the men and women you created us to be, a grateful, loving people ready to leave this place and pay it forward. Lord, we pray this in the beautiful and most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.